Hey guys, thank you for listening to the Zach Scriven Podcast. The Zach Scriven Podcast is sponsored by Anchor. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. It gives you everything you need right in one place for free to publish your podcast across Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the podcasting place. You can record, edit, and even add sponsorships and earn money from your podcast. Really easy to get started. Go to anchor.fm or download the Anchor app to get started. And thank you, Anchor, for sponsoring the Zach Scriven Podcast. Thanks for listening. How do you know what tool to use to analyze your data? Because like Excel is nice because you can kind of rapidly develop something. Like Excel macros were, and you know, formulas were essentially how I learned programming, right? Yeah. Kind of elaborating on math equations is how I saw it. But you know, when you also think about Excel, it's kind of a primitive tool, right? There's kind of more advanced tools, like you said, Tableau, but then that might have a higher barrier of entry, you know? So it's like,
what do you do? So Excel, I think it's fairly easy for anybody to pick up who's been, you know, kind of
around. It's still the number one data management tool, and it shouldn't be.
Exactly, like, right? Because it's not like a database.
People manage a lot of data in Excel and very large enterprises when you talk to some of these folks. They're like, oh, I have this little Excel file here.
Everyone has a little Excel file here. On LinkedIn, hello everybody. I have Zach Scriven and Scott Taylor here. We've got a LinkedIn influencer and the data whisperer.
What's up, guys?
Hello, everybody.
I'll let you guys introduce yourselves.
Yeah. So, Scott, why don't you start?
So, I'm Scott Taylor. I'm the data whisperer. I help calm data down. I'm focused on the master data space, data management, and how to leverage that kind of core content in an enterprise.
And I'm Zach Scriven. People know me for quitting my job in industrial automation, being a control system engineer a year and a half ago, to pursue being a full-time content creator on LinkedIn. And sharing my experience of that journey and sharing some insight about Industry 4.0 and some of the changing winds of technology from that field that I come from, as well as LinkedIn and, you know, being an influencer. So love to see you guys. Honored that I'm on your live stream, Kay, so thank you.
Sure. I think maybe we just get into that a little bit because it's interesting when people quit their jobs to do content creation. So why don't we, why don't you tell us, like, in a minute, why you decided in that exact moment where you thought it was a good idea.
So there was a couple of different things happening. There was a huge need in the industry for like entertaining and informative content in industrial automation. A lot of that content is coming from like companies that's very corporate and not very personalized. And so I saw the need and the value of having someone like myself, you know, be that influencer, so to speak. Creating that personalized content around that field. Also, like at my job, I was getting more and more unhappy, and also LinkedIn video was exploding. So those forces kind of combined to create the perfect storm, which kind of allowed me to create this platform and build an audience. And like right now, I'm doing a documentary, a 30-day road trip, traveling across the United States. So completely sponsored by companies in that space, and so. To be able to share that and just be able to do what I love for a living is just awesome, and be able to inspire others to, you know, also pursue that better version of themselves. So,
great. Thank you.
We have very similar intentions, actually. Yeah. So I don't think I didn't quit my job, but the same kind of idea. My space, which tends to be really dry, data management especially, versus analytics, which gets a lot of the buzz and a lot of the kind of sexy talk. But data management is that unsung part of it, and I felt the same way. Can we put some entertaining, informative kind of content out there? And it's been fabulous in LinkedIn over the last year. I've been having a ball.
Yeah, somebody asked a question already. They said, what is the topic for this talk?
Oh.
So, Scott and Zach, go ahead. What is our topic?
Yeah, so I know Kate for being data-cated. Also, like myself, creating a lot of content on LinkedIn. And so, you know, I also, you know, with industrial automation and like real-world processes, there's a lot of data that comes from that. And we call that process data. And we're doing some interesting things with that data as far as, you know, anomaly detection, you know, machine learning algorithms, analyzing that data, trying to improve these processes like manufacturing, food and beverage, oil and gas, you know, electricity, all these different verticals all have this process data. Tesla collecting, you know, a lot of data from all the cars that it's using. That's an example of Industry 4.0 and how data is being used to train these machine learning algorithms. So it's pretty exciting.
And the foundational data underneath that is really my focus. So I think today we're talking a lot about kind of the foundational building blocks for a lot of this data-related activity. And everything Zach just mentioned needs to have this structured information underneath it, structured data, which is called master data, reference data, metadata, whatever you want to call it, that allows you to identify things as unique, allows you to have a hierarchy, have categorization, some form of geography. I call those the four C's of master data: code, company, category, and country, but some way to consistently structure that information.
Why is that important, Scott?
It's really the most important data there is, in my opinion.
Structured data?
Structured data works harder than unstructured data, period, right? Mm-hmm. So part of what makes or the biggest indicator of big data is that it lacks structure. And once you have structure in data, you can integrate things, you can aggregate it, you can do reporting, you can take multiple data sources and pull them together. And so without that structured data, you have all these problems that data scientists run into all the time, where they're trying to clean data, standardize it, make it into some sort of format that they can then create the meaningful activity they're trying to do.
Mm. So Scott, let's continue on that Tesla analogy, right? They have a fleet of vehicles all collecting, you know, terabytes of data a day from all the visual sensors and optical sensors. And so, you know, that would be kind of the example of the process data, what the speed was, what the direction was, where, you know, the acceleration, accelerometer, all that data would be the kind of the process data. What would be the structured or the master, you know, master data.
Yeah, the master data underneath it. Well, first of all, you just start with it's coming from a car, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That vehicle has an ID. Mm-hmm. What type of vehicle, what model is it, what make is it? Obviously a Tesla.
The owner.
Where is it? So that's got to overlay with the geography files.
Mm.
And all that geographic information's got standardized.
I thought I did something.
Please, ma'am, please.
Well, fire safety is very important, guys.
So. Please disregard all alarms and all strobes.
I got a notification.
This is a good time for a break. This is our commercial break, so if you need to get coffee, you can do that.
Please disregard all alarms.
And I'll eat a gummy bear. All right, so you guys were arguing about what's more important.
I'm scooting in a little bit so my face is not cut off. So,
how's this?
That's good.
Just days from an announcement that's telling me to not pay any attention to the announcement. It's very meta.
So, So, like, and Kate, you focus on using that data to create insights.
Yeah. So
why don't you talk about that for a second?
There's master data, and then there's process data. Then I get that process data.
Oh my gosh.
This is great. I'm loving it. More time to eat gummy bears. Yes, Vishnu, it's always a great time.
This is hilarious.
For our fire drill.
This is LinkedIn really live.
It is really live right now. There's no question about that. I'm going to tag you guys in so you get notification.
Take a moment, turn off your speakers.
Yeah, right? Well, we're gaining people.
Oh, really? I love it.
This is entertainment, you know?
Going to be my new thing, is messing up lives. Ah, there you go. So, how do we turn this thing off? Come on, Zach, figure it out. You've been all around the country. I'm kidding. How are you going to figure it out?
Well, we could at least muffle it a little bit, you know?
We're getting a lot of fainting faces. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
All right, guys, bear with us. We're going to hang in there. Hopefully you guys hang in there with us. I'm so glad I tuned in right now. Christine.
Thank you. Yep.
3 to 5 minutes tops.
Yeah.
Is that how long she would tune in for, or what is 3 to 5 minutes? Oh, okay, that's the fire alarm.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, we're fine. I knew it was going to end eventually.
There we go.
As long as it's not a real
emergency.
Fire, right?
Yeah, that's it.
I would still be here. We're still going live.
We're like carrying our life while it's on fire.
It's portable. I can take it.
Yeah.
You have this whole setup.
Yeah.
I should show people your setup.
Well, yeah, I would definitely, we could show it. Like, yeah, it's, I have this camera.
Fine, later, yeah. We'll end with that. People, stay tuned. I'm going to show you Zach's camera.
Yeah, I'm actually recording this in a high.
Yeah, we're both.
We're doing a triple. Are you guys going live or just recording?
No. I'm just recording it for.
Oh, so you can cut that part out.
Yeah, I could cut that part out.
Fire alarm feeding the data.
This is
not. Run. Yes. So that was sensor data.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The fire alarm was set off, and then now we can analyze that data.
Yeah. Maybe the master data, like there would be an event created. You know, like there's a transaction that says this fire alarm drill happened at this, you know.
Yeah.
So
so then we collect that data and we can analyze it and say, you know, maybe 10:54 a.m. is not an opportune time to go live. Okay. There are going to be fire drills.
May I have your attention, please?
Oh, my goodness.
Fire safety department. We have completed the test of the fire alarm.
Oh, they completed the test.
May I have your attention,
I hope they passed.
May I have your attention, please?
Live IoT. Yeah, Raphael, IoT is definitely a big part of that process data. And on Industry 4.0, we call that IIoT, or Industrial Internet of Things. It's, you know, over in Germany, they call it Industry 4.0, but it's instead of...
Why is it 4.0?
So think of industrial...
Industrial Revolution?
Well, it's the fourth Industrial Revolution.
Got
the first one, if you want. So there was steam, electricity, computers, and now this cyber physical, which I actually consider a data revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
each of those fuels powered a whole transformation in the way things were made and in society, right? So if you look at what steam did for mechanization, then these factories had to rearrange their machines once electricity came in, once computers came in, you could do things in a much more automated fashion, and now all that's converging in a way that people really feel is revolutionary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so the IoT is part of it, and all these other trends are all kind of around that.
But this fourth one is just going to happen so much quicker.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Every time it happens.
It's faster and faster.
So between the first and the second, well, but before the first, it was eons, right? Like humans didn't really evolve, and then you kind of look at, we're just hockey sticking right now, so... I think the first one was around 1700s-ish, late, and then the second one was right around late 1800s, mm-hmm. So it was 100 years,
yeah.
And then the third one was 50 years, and then another 25 years, so we'll be talking about Industry 5.0
in 10 years. Industry 5.0. Yeah. We'll have you back here to talk about Industry 5.0.
I think
tomorrow.
Like we kind of reached this asymptote, which is kind of like the singularity, I think. Would you call it that, or?
No.
No? Well, you know, if that trend continues, essentially, time goes to zero.
Yeah, I don't think about the future that much. I can't.
I don't like to think about time.
Okay, we'll take it back.
To zero. Okay, that's
no, I don't want to think about that.
But kind of stripping it back, if you think about the IoT, if you think about the Industrial Revolution, kind of the underlying promise of those and the operating theory behind them is that everything needs to connect to everything else when it should.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's all connected already.
Things have the potential to be connected, but if you think about the should part, for me that's really critical, right? So not everything does connect to everything else, and everything shouldn't connect to everything else, because there's security, there's privacy, there's different activities that shouldn't necessarily.
What should not connect?
Just in a really simple example. So if my bedroom, if my bed is connected to my coffee maker in a smart house, so when I wake up, the coffee pot starts to brew, right? That's perfect. Now, should my blender talk to my neighbor's lawnmower?
Probably.
No, there's nothing to talk about, right? So just a ridiculous sort of tangible example, but if you think about machines talking to other machines, there are factories that shouldn't connect to other factories, right? So there's standards out there that will allow things to connect, but again, my sort of overriding one-sentence business requirement for the IoT is everything should connect to everything else when everything needs to connect to everything else when it should.
Mm-hmm.
And that should part takes authenticated identity. I got to validate that entity. Do I know that it's real? Do I know that I should have a relationship with it? And then a common data structure that allows these things to actually interoperate.
What's up, Craig?
Craig says Zach Scriven's in the house.
Thank you. Dude, it's so good to see my fans. You know, last night at LinkedIn Global, just...
Yeah, fans, look at you.
Followers, you know. I'm an influencer.
This is live.
Okay.
She said fans.
I'm just trying... normally, I'm more modest than that, but the way I do kind of see it is like, you know, when you get so many followers, like, you can't have necessarily a personalized connection with each one. So when I meet someone in person, like, we're connection. But on LinkedIn, you know, maximum 30,000 connections. But if you want 100,
how many connections do you have?
I have about 7,000 connections, but about closing in on 10,000 followers. Mm-hmm. So there's 3,000 people, you know, that followed me in addition to connecting.
Right.
So those would be fans, you know. Like, I want them to be connections.
Look at that.
Well, like, you know, like, why do they follow me? They follow me because they love the content that I create. They love the story that I'm telling.
Why do you guys follow Zach? Whoever's here for Zach. I'd like to know.
Yeah, I would
it's
like to know.
It's always interesting too. To know. And Scott and me. Why do you guys follow?
People who follow me have said that they like the way I kind of phrase the space that they're in. Because it's a really complicated space. And again, it's really boring to a lot of business people.
So you make
people.
Things interesting.
So I make it interesting and I make it accessible to the business side.
Yeah.
Because the technology practitioners that I deal with, they're great at what they do. Mm-hmm. They know it helps the business. But as a whole, they struggle articulating that to the business side. Mm-hmm. And there's certainly data management space. There's nobody I know who's getting enough funding for data management. They're all looking for more support. And so how do they start to bring that story to the C-level of their organizations to get that kind of support?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I find a lot of people who share my stuff go, see, that guy's saying it. Mm-hmm. This is what I mean. So for me, it's really gratifying that those kind of words break through the clutter.
Yeah, there's been a couple comments on your caps, guys. So
yeah,
I just looked down so people could see what it says. So we've got an influencer here, and we have the truth.
And I'm all about the truth here, okay? Truth and meaning and data. You got to determine the truth first, then you got to derive meaning. Zach and I did not coordinate it, but we're dressed remarkably.
Yeah,
the same
it's
here,
very,
so.
Very similar.
Well, you know,
brothers from
they have
other,
jeans,
other
they have sneakers,
and
they have very similar shirts. That's. And I have a gummy bear.
You think alike, your external, you know, kind of projection will be similar too, you know?
So you guys think alike?
Yeah, well, like, we both have that fascination with data. We're both, you know, you're the master data influencer.
I'm trying to be.
I'm the LinkedIn influencer. So guys, I'm opening a swag shop. When I get done with this,
Me too, dedicated product.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll buy a t-shirt.
Notebooks, t-shirts,
nice.
Hats, mugs,
so, I think
I'm not done.
I can't tell. I can't tell if you're serious or not.
I am actually.
Okay, awesome.
Dedicated products. I really am. I
awesome.
Spoke about it on LinkedIn. Did
where can
know?
Where can people find it?
Story by Data.
Okay.
It's gonna have its own little thing. Dedicated products. Look for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sick and tired of saying I'm going to open a swag shop. So I'm officially going to open a swag shop.
This is it.
No, like, so when I get done with the road trip, I'm putting it up blind, and there's going to be basically two products. One's going to be handmade, made by me, and you're
really?
Going to you're going
to
get
you
a video.
Have a ton of time?
Well, so this is this
are you
one.
You're going to make hats.
So
or are you going to sew them?
So I downloaded the PNG file, and I turned that into a DST, a digital stitch file.
Yes.
And I took that file to my local Lids hat shop, and they embroidered it for me. So that
you're
one's like
making it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're taking the design to the store.
Yes, correct.
Digital stitch file. That's a real thing. It's a real extension. So that
that's interesting.
DST.
Mm-hmm. Master data.
But what is it again?
Dot DST file.
Yes, Craig. I am being the warrior.
And so that allows them an embroidery machine to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's got to know, like, all right, which way do you actually want the stitches to go, right? So I used Fiverr to create that and. So that's how I made my hat, but so many people of you have asked. This one's like a very expensive hat. It's a fitted. It's new era. So I was like, okay, well, if you want the fitted hat, the custom, the signature series, that's going to be a little bit more. And, you know, obviously part of that is to help fund me being a full-time content creator. Like, that's what, you know, you guys are essentially helping me out with the hat. So, and then I think it maybe have a lower, like, kind of more, maybe one size fits all, like a snapback or just kind of a, you know, kind of a more volume, and that one I'm gonna, you know, use like a supplier to drop ship essentially. So, but yeah, the signature hat, I think, you know,
so
they
you
maybe
wear this all the time.
Oh yeah, yeah. I actually feel like naked without the hat. Like in,
okay,
I don't know.
Put
I just
it back on, put it back on.
No, not naked, but
show,
yeah.
I've never seen your hair before. This is it.
Yeah.
You have hair.
I've followed your facial hair changes though over the road trip and over the your video.
So this was inspired by other beards of LinkedIn and.
Wait, who are the other beards of LinkedIn?
So like Joe Applebaum, Sam Chine. You guys in the comments tag someone that. You know, has an amazing beard because they kind of gave me the courage to grow this out. And I'd always
I have courage to grow a beard. I don't have that problem.
Well, I don't know. I just was all like, as a teen, you know, you don't grow up, like, you know, you start growing a little bit of a beard, but it's like, so like
you're one. You're still a teen?
It's like one hair, you know, and then eventually it kind of grows out more and more. So yeah. I'm not able to grow in a full beard. So I was kind of always kind of self-conscious of that. But, you know, I was like, screw it. Like, whatever my beard is, like, I should just be comfortable in that, you know?
Be comfortable.
I had the courage to grow a beard once, and you could rank in descending. The more somebody loved me, the more they hated the beard. It was directly proportional.
So we could draw a chart.
Yeah, so it was like the people who loved me the most were like,
Shout out to Kurt Mercadante. He's like, you know, if you actually told Kurt you love his beard, he's like, well, you don't love me? Like,
that's his logo.
Yeah, it is true, yeah. He's like, oh no, I should shave it, you know? But no, like, yeah, I think it is.
We've never spoke about beards and hats on my show before, so this is interesting.
I'm sorry. No, it's great. I hope you guys are enjoying it. You know, we got 150 of you guys, so thank you guys for tuning in and hanging out with us.
That's 10,000, by the way.
before we went live, I was like, okay, so it's like we're gonna step on a stage of an audience of 56,000 seats. You know,
that's if all of the followers are online that moment. And
like a baseball field, you know, or a football stadium. And then, yeah, so how do you think the LinkedIn algorithm determines who sends a notification to? Because surely it doesn't send a notification to 56,000.
Whoever's online sees the notification for now, while it's still in beta.
Okay. I thought they kind of like handpicked based on people that, you know, you're kind of closely created to. So almost as if it put their content in their feed.
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay. But I think if somebody comments, like Craig Wahlberg, he deserves an award for today's comment. He's just been commenting every 5 seconds. Thank you, Craig. We are all in New York, by the way. We're somewhere on 34th and 5th. We can't say where.
You can tell by the accent.
We're not going to say where.
Well, I feel it's been quiet. We haven't had a fire drill in 10 minutes here.
It's been quiet.
Remarkably calm.
Oh my God.
What else? Back to data? For kicks? Should we talk about some data?
Sure, all right. Otherwise, we're going to talk about running because Craig asked about my Warriors.
Oh, yeah. Run. How did you finish your muscle up?
I need to go.
No, sorry.
No,
don't feel like. Did you fail?
So, I twisted my ankle halfway. This is my excuse. I twisted my ankle running about 2 weeks into the challenge, and then I could no longer jump down from the bar. So I took a week off, and then I'm like, a week's just not enough time. So no, I did not. But it helped me a lot in my Spartan training because I could easily get over the walls now.
Are you still planning on doing it or
the muscle
not for
level?
Now?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yes.
Awesome. Keep doing it. I'll be proud of you when
it looked it happens.
It looked like you almost did it.
I almost did it, right, from
the beginning. So,
But if I jump, then I can do it. It's not a real muscle up. No, I'm mostly focused on running. Like this week.
Do you ever run across? Maybe not now, but when Casey Neistat lived here, did you ever cross paths with him running on like the west side or
with who?
Casey Neistat.
Don't know Casey. Am I supposed to know Casey? Why are you looking at him?
I don't know.
All right, guys. Who doesn't know Casey Neistat? He's a YouTuber from New York City, and he's
can look him up.
11.5 million subscribers. He's very much an inspiration for a lot of my content. You know, it's he was a filmmaker, and he started
with a K?
C.
There you go.
You know him, right?
I don't know.
He's probably not going to be on LinkedIn. Neistat.
N-E-I.
S-T-A-T. Nope. YouTuber at Casey.
Connection.
Yeah, so he's definitely, he's not even on LinkedIn, but on YouTube, he's like kind of the godfather of vlogging. And
he's in India?
No, that must be a fake profile.
I know. Wait, do you guys know David Goggins?
Mm-mm.
No?
Oh, yes. David Goggins was on the Joe Rogan Experience. He went from like 300 pounds down to like 100 pounds.
Yeah. I read his book, Can't Hurt Me. Great book, if anybody's looking for a book. But I'm doing Leadville next year. So he ran Leadville. It's like this 100-mile run in Colorado. And I got a message from him on Facebook. And I was like, oh my God, David Goggins messaged me. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He was also somebody who had three connections.
Yeah.
Oh, it was not David
Goggins. The reason why I shared Casey is because like in a lot of his vlogs, he would run in New York City, like, you know, from lower Manhattan all the way up around Central Park.
I did a perimeter run recently.
No way.
So it's 36 miles when you start. I started at the United Nations on like the east side. Then all the way up to Inwood Park, all the way like close to the Bronx, and then all the way down downtown and then all the way back to the middle again.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun trip.
And what was the pace?
Oh, I don't know. It was it was a run walk.
The Circle Line boat.
That's one thing Casey would do. He would say, like, you know, not bad run this morning, 11 miles at a 7.52 pace. Like, he's like running, you know, and that's also including like him setting up his camera and like running by it. So he's really known for like that cinematic content. You got
to
check him out.
I have to check him out.
We'll check him out. But definitely on YouTube.
All right. So back to data.
Just for kids.
So yeah. So do you use an app to like log your data from your run and analyze those data?
So, yes, I use Runkeeper, and you can actually export data into Excel if you go on the computer and go into the app. Then you can click export. For whatever dates you want, gives you your pace, it gives you even the GPS file if you wanted to, like map, in Tableau you can map your run.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't actually done that, but you can pretty easily and then create.
I have their own local data, but you're not gaining insight from plant one across plant two and plant three.
Or
so
across different departments and functions at a company.
Or not only that, imagine just not that enterprise, but let's say this enterprise has a machine that also many other different enterprises, maybe in the same market, maybe in different markets, they also use that same packer. Or imagine that equipment manufacturer collecting that data across all of its customers and then improving its product back to those supply those manufacturers.
I think that's happening to some extent, right?
But the point is you need to have all that data in one place.
Yeah.
In IIoT, it's called the unified namespace.
Right.
Mm. It has some sort of structure, but essentially you can access any data from, you know, an enterprise in just by accessing, making one connection, right? Not a million different connections to a million different databases. It's just one place, and you can analyze all that data relationally.
And that is master data. So that, I mean, that's the core of what master data brings to a company, is that ability to cut across all those silos. So we're talking about Excel, right?
Yeah.
You think about a table, people are really good at adding columns,
right?
But it's hard to do the rows, right? Mm-hmm. So if you had two Excel files,
the rows is the content
together.
Yeah.
What are the rows? That's the master data part, are the rows. So everybody can add columns.
Those if you don't have any rows, you just have no data. You just have a structure.
Exactly.
Yeah. So think of master data as the rows. Then you've got...
Do you like JSON?
JSON? I haven't used JSON.
Really?
Why do you look so shocked?
Because you're a Python programmer, and that's kind of... Yeah.
I'm not a Python programmer.
You're doing the Python programming tips.
I had a pet Python for a bit. Snake.
You're trolling me. Okay, Kate, you
can't. I'm not a Python.
You got to be serious with me because I'm like a little bit on the autistic spectrum a little bit. So there's these like I kind of take things very literally.
But I really am not a Python programmer.
But you did the Python
I'm
programming.
Python.
Oh, and
I
you're
just like literally started learning Python.
So you're already a Python programmer.
Don't ask me. I don't get physical at all. Conceptual, I'm great. Logical, I can talk my way through it, but I do not get physical. I don't touch anything. So
somebody's still not clear on our topic. Is it how to manage massive data? Yeah, I mean it's all data.
We're
talking about the value of this foundational content. We're talking about how things need to connect. It's a little.
Yeah. So we're going into this abyss that we don't really quite understand. So it's valuable to collaborate with people that are in related fields, but.
Yep.
In kind of different niches, so I think there's something, you know, valuable to be had having this conversation. Just like the Joe Rogan Experience, right? He has a 3-hour podcast, and through that, they're able to, you know, kind of talk, dissect a subject, and then get further, you know, gain further insight by talking about it without like trying to, you know, if you do a short video on LinkedIn, it's nice to have your topics and you just hit it.
Yeah, yeah, this is kind of a free for all.
More dialogue,
improvisational tour.
Where's Kate's hat?
You
should get a dedicated hat.
Swag.
No, but I was saying, so I'm a little autistic, so when you say something, I take it, you're like, you know, and I can't tell if you're joking or not, you know, so.
I'll be clear. I'll laugh out loud when I joke.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, so then you are getting the swag shop and you are learning.
I am doing a dedicated product,
Awesome.
Story by Data is branching out into a lot of different things.
Awesome.
Training,
I'm really excited.
Online person, in-person training, online training, influencer marketing a little bit. Some companies.
Yeah, there's definitely some.
And we could talk about that as well.
Software
media,
companies.
Branding, I know you're.
Okay.
Influencer.
But yeah.
you're building your brand as the data whisperer.
As a data whisperer, that's going
He doesn't
well.
Whisper, by the way. I tried.
I do not
like,
whisper.
Hi,
I've been
Scott.
Yelling right in your ear the
He's
whole
just
time.
Like, hi, so. Yeah.
Improv on data, yeah.
This isn't improv. Thanks, George.
Yeah, yeah.
This
yeah, it's
is
kind
improv.
Of improvisation.
I told him, like, guys, so what are you going to talk about? He's like, well, why don't you turn on the camera and then we'll start talking.
Yeah, that's it. We come along.
So, but so, yeah. On Python.
And, yeah, you guys can ask questions. We'll respond. That's...
JSON is really cool because it's like a dictionary. It's like a Python dictionary almost.
Okay.
And it's really good for exchanging data.
So you're a Python programmer?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
so
I didn't know that.
In my field, we had software packages that had Python scripting. So you could, connect to machines, do visualization, so you could start and stop the machine or analyze the trend. But you could also write Python scripts to, access an API and receive data from that, and that would typically be returned to you in a JSON format.
Okay.
But JSON is essentially a Python dictionary where you have, key value pairs, right? Mm-hmm. So you have, and your key value pair would essentially be like your key would be your column, and then the value would be like members of that row, right?
Right.
And you basically be like a list of many, if there's many rows, you might have a list of many. Whatever that JSON is trying to represent, whether it's
like
a
unique identifiers, you mean?
UUID might be like one, attribute of that JSON object, but the other attributes would be like, what is the name or what is the value of, like, is this equipment running, or it might be a whole list of time series data,
mm-hmm.
Date, value, quality.
Right.
So JSON is a really good thing to know if you're into getting into programming, to be able to handle
learning programming. And Magul is asking, what procedure that can they do with JSON?
What is it?
What can they do with JSON?
So you can send data with a JSON object. So it's completely flexible. So you can create really any structure you want into mm-hmm. it, and then you can send data between applications. So like Python can analyze JSON data. JSON is technically JavaScript object notation. So obviously JavaScript can analyze JSON. So it's really kind of a...
So it's across languages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know Python?
The only JSON I know is Friday the 13th.
Yeah, I don't know that.
That one?
Hmm. So for those of you guys following... for those of you guys following Kate's Python training series... you'll be getting into the JSON.
Python, that's a thing too. That's one of my hashtags.
No, I don't program any of that. The only thing I program is, my TV. I don't touch
there you
anything.
Go. Now again, that was
do
a good
one.
Dedicated Python.
Yeah. Don't.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Because I wanted people to follow along if they're also learning Python. Mm. I'm actually starting a course on September 23rd from Metis. Shout out to Metis. They gave me a course.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke at their conference a couple months back. Online conference, which is actually similar to this. You don't never know how many people you're speaking with.
Mm-hmm.
So you know if you should be nervous or not.
Oh my God, we have 200 people. What's up, guys? Thank you for liking and sharing. It's cool to see you guys out there.
Zach Scriven, Scott Taylor. You can follow them for data stuff, LinkedIn stuff, and engineering stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
You're kind of
I'm very philosophical, actually. I like talking. Yeah, I have a podcast, the Zach Scriven podcast, so I'll probably publish this conversation on that with the camera that we're going to show you at the end of this
recording?
Stream. Yeah, this has been recording the whole time.
Should we look there a little bit, or and here a little
no,
bit?
No, it's good, it's good. It's like, it's kind of like a third-person perspective, and some of this content, or maybe not, but some of the content might make it into the documentary. It'll definitely go in today's vlog, but...
you should do the fire drill into the documentary.
Oh, for sure.
Because that's important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's only a drill.
Yeah. Yeah, but so like I'm interviewing these professionals and asking them about their, a lot of industry 4.0 professionals, but a lot of maybe other people that are outside of the field. Maybe they do, like yourself. I would love to have you on my podcast just to talk and, create content as well. And it's just something fun for me to do,
Yeah, so I wanted to ask both of you, why do you create content? Why do you put videos up there?
So it's very much the same reason why we store data from process equipment. So you're able to get that value out of that data, right? So this video is essentially a digital version of ourselves, right? So we're in this room. There's only so many people, like 200 people could not fit in this room. Plus, you guys would all have to travel here.
We can fit in this room. It's a pretty big room.
And, we're reaching people around the world right now. So we're able to accelerate that spread of information. So using that data, like if you actually think about this video, it's a bunch of zeros and ones and bytes. So that has a lot of leverage. And so when you use that, you're able to spread information more quickly, create value, whether that's in a digital course, sharing your Python learning experience, or you know, just me.
Or lack thereof.
You know, like just me, my personality, like for people that follow me, they like my personality. They just kind of want to, you know, it's almost a little bit of entertainment.
Meganese says, please define value. For your blogumentary.
Blogumentary. It's kind of a vlogumentary. So each stop, I'm actually doing one vlog.
Where did you start again?
So I started in Los Angeles, and then from there we went to San Francisco.
I'm going to San Francisco.
It's a great city.
Is anybody else going there? Sorry, for the Open Data Science Conference end of October. If you're going, let me know in the comments. As of now, I don't know anybody else is going there. So yes.
Maybe if I'm open, I might go. But yeah, so I'm in Los Angeles. Yeah.
We went to drive from here.
I went to San Francisco, went to Redwood National Forest because my, you know, fiance wanted to go there and it was really cool, like fun stop. Redwood National Forest.
Redwood, that's in San Francisco, right?
No, it's north, it's at the north border of California.
Wait, is it those like the big trees?
Right.
I want to see that.
Massive.
Drive-through one?
We didn't drive through one. That one is actually the Redwood National Park. We went to the Jedediah Smith National Park, which is, you know, it's actually free, so that's why we went to that one. But I made an analogy. I posted a LinkedIn video about how does these trees, you know, relate to this road trip, right? Besides it being just kind of a fun stop for my family. And I'm like, you know, there's something why these trees live 1,000 years. Why do they get so big? And I was looking closely and something I noticed was that on the trees, there was moss and, you know, the trees would also fall over and then, you know, different other plants would actually grow like symbiotically with this redwood. So I'm like, that's why it's so big. Is because it supports the environment around it. So to answer your question, you could consider that value, right? That tree is not only just living for itself, but it's living for others. It's creating a positive impact on the environment around it. And so that's why I use video. That's why I love data. That's why I just, you know, want to be that LinkedIn influencer.
You want to give out more value. Okay. Your turn.
I do it to kind of spread the word about the importance of data management at its most foundational level because it doesn't get enough attention.
Yeah.
And so I found video because I do a lot of events and I do a lot of speaking. Most of my videos are clips of those presentations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got a lot of very clear, what I think are some clear, pithy sound bites that folks have told me they share, that they repeat, that they will, that help them explain the value of what they do. Mm-hmm. To the business side of their organization.
And you found video has been more helpful than other...
Yeah, it's I worked with a guy, a friend of mine and a mentor, a guy named Jeff Herman. Hi, Jeff. He really got me off the ledge in terms of
doing
video.
Should we tag him?
Tag Jeff. Jeff Herman. Yeah, absolutely.
Jeff Herman.
H-E-R-R-M-A-N.
There's probably only one Jeff Herman.
Yeah, this is right. There's only one. Two R's, two M's.
Lead data science instructor, chairman, CEO at Herman Services. Which one is this? We'll tag him.
That's it. Third one down.
Really?
No, not that one. Oops, you had him. Anyway, disambiguation. But anyway, and he had this great point. It's like it's a lot easier doing a 2-minute video than it is writing a 1,000 word blog.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, it just comes
so the,
right out.
So the bandwidth is higher.
That's him right there.
The bandwidth is much higher. You can get out much more information much more quickly to many more people.
And
than
people love watching them. They can watch them with the sound
off.
Sometimes,
I don't know. I feel like...
You wouldn't love to watch this?
Yeah, so I'm kind of all media here.
What is that?
One thing or the other.
What are you showing?
That was my favorite one. Sioux Falls.
So we're in Sioux Falls.
Oh, yeah. He told me about that today.
That's the one. You're dried off now.
Yeah, just really excited to be here.
So it's like raining in Sioux Falls, so... You know, after Redwood, we went to Seattle.
Yeah.
Saw John Marty. Shout out, John. Then we went to Yellowstone, Mount Rushmore.
So it's you, your fiance, and your daughter, you said?
Yeah, and my friend Albert, who's also a drone operator. He's helping me film.
Wait, that's the guy who drove you here today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like reading. He's like, Albert's going to drive me here. I'm like,
is he double parked downstairs?
No, no. He's going to New Jersey because he's going to take his drone off and fly from the New Jersey side to actually get the city and the drone shots.
We're not going to tell you where we are in New York, but it's $1,000 an hour to park here. So,
You know, after that, Yellowstone, Mount Rushmore, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, I saw Jeff Larson, who is one of my favorite LinkedIn influencers. He just works at Billionaire Toyota, so I just went, I messaged him, I went to go see him, and we did a video. He actually had to quit LinkedIn because it was kind of becoming too consuming. And so we talked about that. So that, you know, definitely I can relate. You know, my job kind of, you know, the it you know permits that I have to leverage social media. So yeah. It was good
but
to
you
talk.
You like it, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I want to do,
yeah,
right?
I love it. I have had a ball. I just dove into it almost a year ago. Just really full force.
Yeah.
Can I put some of this stuff out there? Will people think it's relevant? Are they going to think it's
interesting? Do you ever have doubts? Like, well, maybe if I put this out, somebody will judge me or think it's boring or think
I've got a really strong ego in that.
I think. All right.
And then you get these folks who kind of pick at you. And when I started getting these folks who were picking
like
at
trolls,
me.
You mean?
Yeah, I guess they're trolls, whatever, maybe small t. And they argue with me about little stuff. And I went, okay, everything I read said that means you're making progress. When I originally got a few of them, they were really negative, and
like
that kind of shocked me. They
you
were
have
like,
an example?
Well, one guy just actually wrote bullshit. I'm like, okay, I'm going to moderate that post. You know, that's not quite, you know, can you elaborate a little bit? But another guy said, oh, well, this is a rather simplistic view of, and it really hit me. It was like, wow, am I off target?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Well, sometimes you do have to listen to it.
But what I did was I reached out, so I reached out to this guy.
So
I reached out to this guy, and I was like,
I'm
interested in your perspective. And I did that with a few of them.
Okay.
And a couple of these guys have been like huge, turned around and become really great followers.
Yeah.
I've helped some of them do some content. So, you know, you just want to hear people out. And I thought that was a nice way to do it, is just to say, okay, what do you mean by that?
I'm going to share the video to the Redwood video. So, but, you know, after I saw Sioux Falls, I went to Milwaukee, and there's like a ton of LinkedIn influencers that, you know, kind of come from there. I call it the stellar nursery of LinkedIn influencers. You know, Jackie Hermes, Quentin Allums, like a lot of those storytellers, you know, video creators or entrepreneurs that are coming from there. Shea Rowbottom. Shout out Shay. They're all from Milwaukee. So we had like this little meetup in Milwaukee.
I know. See, Shay, I know.
Yeah, that's funny. You don't know Casey Neistat, but you know Shea Rowbottom.
Shay, I just literally told Scott she's one of my favorite.
Yeah, Shay's great. I watch Shay.
So obviously I had to make
she's
a stop
funny.
In Milwaukee. Also, Rockwell Automation is in Milwaukee. So I actually got to interview some of the people from Rockwell to actually, you know, it's not just me on a vacation. I swear, guys, I'm actually doing work.
He barely made it in the office. Question on automation, though. So one area that I'm really interested in, and I'm in the works of creating a charity to try to help this problem, but automation, right, we're helping get rid of the jobs that people don't want to do, but people still need jobs.
I would also add, it's not that they don't want to do them, it's that computers are better at doing those
jobs.
Well,
yeah, the repetitive, those are the jobs I'm talking about, like driving, and repetitive things like making your burger. All day long, fries and taking orders and
analyzing mass amounts of data.
Yeah, seriously, that's going away, all of that. So
that's why I wanted to be a video creator, because no computer can tell the story that I want to tell, like my vision of the road trip of, you know, me.
You could probably do it better though, eventually.
Yeah, but I think
don't you feel like this is an interesting. It won't be from your unique perspective. That's the. It'll always be unique, I think, when humans do it. But the question is on your thoughts on what are we going to do to help people maybe upskill or somehow.
They're going to need to start taking digital courses online. Like, so learning is, you're going to have to learn a new skill more quickly now.
And how do they do that?
So like,
if we could do that, didn't we do that like.
Coding boot camps or watching some YouTube videos on how to create content, you know, around your passion, like Gary Vee, you know, Gary Vee's book, Crushing It. That's kind of what.
I can tell that you're inspired by Gary.
That's kind of.
I read your profile. I'm like.
That's kind of.
Zach Scriven Media.
No, seriously, like.
Zach Scriven Podcast. I'm like, just replace Zach Scriven, Gary V.
That's
hey,
funny.
When you see something that works.
He did really give me the idea to like think that it was possible to do something like this, and it's turned out to be true. And so, I forget what we were talking
about. Jobs and displacement.
Yeah, yeah. So automation doesn't kill jobs. It takes away the right jobs and it creates new and better jobs. And so as automation is accelerating, those jobs are going to be shifting more quickly. So you're going to need to be learning throughout the rest of your career, because, you know, if you went to school, you know, 10 years ago to be an accountant, let's say, accounting is going to change very much so over the next 5 to 10 years.
You say 97% chance of being automated. There's a site, JT Kaufman told me about it. will the robots take my job? I think that's literally the site.com. And you could type in the job title and it'll tell you the percentage likelihood. Oh, yeah, really? Accounting was
7%. So rather than being an accountant, let's say, why don't you be a content creator around accounting, and then you could help sell these automated accounting services, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a software as a service and they need marketing. So why not be a personality that people know you for being an accountant, like Sutton Sabinash, also out of Milwaukee? Why not be a content creator so then you kind of future-proofing your work? Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a more creative field. Like, people want to buy from people. People want to make a connection with people, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a demand for influencers. I swear, you guys, like, it's not... Like, I know it's kind of funny.
Why don't we get too many influencers?
Oh, that's a great question. I think...
Can everybody be an influencer?
No,
got to be influenced.
Right. So, but
we're all going to be influenced.
Yeah. So why can't you influence me on which data analysis software to use? And why can't I influence you to, you know, maybe not even you, right? So different people can influence for different fields, right? So I think look at sales, right? So sales, like, isn't something like a ridiculous number of jobs are just sales?
Wait, but let's go back for a second. Do we, you know, what's his name? Veganese. I forget your real name, Veganese. Is it Chris? I'm thinking it's Chris. He said learning how to be unemployed. And I know you meant that as a joke, but...
Learning how to be unemployed.
No, but seriously, because do we all need to work? Is that even a need?
My father says work is the ultimate inconvenience.
This brings up
perspective.
Takes this, so much time.
This brings up the question of, like, would a UBI be necessary?
Yeah, yeah.
And I've kind of universal basic income. I've kind of gone back and forth on this issue.
Who's under the influence? Hold on.
Who's under the influence?
Exactly.
Who's under the influence?
No, guys, I'm above the influence.
He
okay?
is above. Yep. High above.
So yeah, like, why not be a creative professional? And, you know, so, like, automation is creating new and better jobs, so it's just going to be difficult to make that transition. Like, it was very difficult for me to have faith in myself to be able to
make the leap.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a huge leap.
It is difficult.
Fail and go, okay, I'm going to go all in on this.
Mm-hmm. Because then if you fail or succeed, it's all on you.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, you know, if you go all in on something, you've got a better shot.
Burn the bridge.
I almost knew. It's like, who would not like kind of find inspiration in the story of that, right? So I was like, I knew it would kind of be successful, and even if it failed,
you knew it would be successful.
Even if it failed, I knew that people would still respect the fact that I tried.
Well, you knew you had a story either way. Right?
Yeah.
So hopefully it's a good story.
I'm just telling stories, you know?
You know, once upon a time, they lived happily ever after. Mm-hmm. So you had a good story, or it's a progressing story. But you know that I look at it all the time. I'm a storyteller. There's a story in everything.
Yeah.
Right.
So how do you get through that? How do you articulate that? How do you have people follow that journey that gets some suspense in it? And, you know, you got to be able to... there will always be a place for storytellers, for people who can convey something in a way that sparks an imagination in an audience that gets them to realize, okay, this is something I could do, or I'm not alone, or that relates to me, or wow, how did they do that? I've got something similar. And so that talent, if you've got it out there, you want to lean into that too. You want to go all in on being able to tell those stories.
So I think everyone could be an influencer, but I don't think everyone's going to want to be one. So
I mean, a lot of people, if you ask most people that I know personally, if I tell them, hey, let's put a camera in front of you and just create a 30-second video about any topic, they're like, no. Mm-hmm. Right. No, put that away.
Yeah.
No. Or it's so, just something people have a weirdness about it.
Yeah.
I guess I did it.
So I would ask them, like, you know, they should definitely look and pay attention to their own field and make sure they're not in one of those that's going to be displaced. And so they kind of need to think in advance.
Yeah.
Judy Fox said, Michaela Alexis said, think of creating content as career insurance, right? So if you lose your job or you quit, in my case, or, you know, you want to advance, creating content is going to be able to help you do that. So, you know, as things continue to change faster and faster, I saw it as really the only, like, way to kind of go forward into the future. And so maybe I'm a little bit on the leading edge, but...
You know you have something to say. You know, for me, that's really important. Do you have a unique point of view?
Mm-hmm.
You're an individual. You should have a point of view.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you have a... But,
unless you're...
I look at it in the business side, sort of very strictly in the business side of it. If you're a thought leader of any sort in a business vertical or some sort of segment, you want to make sure you understand that whole space enough that your point of view brings something extra there.
Sure.
And isn't just simply
yeah, George had a good question.
Kind of, you know,
yeah.
Cliches for the rest.
George asked how can one gain the skill of storytelling, or can't it
be learned? Learned or not?
Are I think it's instinctual. I think it's instinctual.
Yeah.
Because what is life? Life is just one big story, right?
You watch great stories. You watch great. I had a chance to actually ask Francis Ford Coppola a question once at a conference. He was speaking at a conference, and I kind of raised my hand. And I said, how do you know a good story? I mean, how do you know one? And he didn't have any kind of scientific clinical answer. He said, it just sticks with you.
All right, guys. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking to see how long the walk is to the vessel.
Oh, yeah, you have to go.
So I have a public influencer meetup. I want to connect with my local LinkedIn connections in New York City. And so I also wanted to see the vessel. And so I thought that'd be a really great excuse for you guys to step out of the office, come see us at the vessel in 24 minutes. So
24 minutes.
Okay, it's a 20-minute walk. So you guys could keep live streaming. But I think I have to go here.
I'm coming with you too.
Yeah.
Going, so.
You're going?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Of course I'm going.
I know there's at least one other person going, so.
Wait.
And I'm bringing somebody, so that's four.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Four people.
So I don't know. That's what I love doing, right? I love connecting with people, and I love connecting with my fans, you know?
Oh, yeah, you and your fans.
But I like making my fans into connections, right? Because those are the people that care, right? There's a lot of people that may like the content or get something out of it, and maybe they learn, oh, I should look at programming or how to be an influencer.
Yeah, but a lot of questions came up with
really,
programming.
If they really, you know, want to connect with me as an individual, then I know that they're going to, like, if they show up, then that means a lot to me. And I want to open myself up to be more accessible. You know, as the followers grow and stuff, I don't want to be like I'm just unreachable, you know? It's hard to get accessible.
Accessible is key. I remember Carla Gentry. She was one of the people I interviewed for my book, The Disruptors.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, I'm like, how did you become, she's like one of the most well-known females in the data space.
Mm.
And that was her exact thing. She's like, I'm accessible. Mm-hmm. I don't lock myself up in a room and not respond to messages. Which is obvious because I messaged her and she responded right back and said, yay, great, let's do it. And it was just, that's kind of what I want to do as well.
That's why I always tell people to, you know, message me. You know, I may not always comment on your posts in the feed.
Or may not respond right away, but eventually, message again. If it's been a week and you haven't received a response.
I really enjoyed this time, you guys.
This is fun.
I'll do a pitch for you. I mean, the way I found you was I was working on techniques on LinkedIn videos. And I'm looking for some tips, and you had a great, like, 10 things you shouldn't do, or 10 tips in there.
Mm-hmm.
We struck it up, then you found out, I think I wrote to you or something, and then we were actually somewhat in an overlapping space and took data, and we did the podcast, but it's awesome. So if you're trying to figure out how to break into this technique-wise, find Zach. If you want to know about master data, find me. If you want to understand how to explain this stuff in analytics, find Kate, right? Did I get everybody's positioning right? And now we're all here. So, this has been a ball.
And now you guys are going to run over to your next thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, thank you guys for joining. Hope
thank
you enjoyed it.
This was not a drill.
Follow Zach, follow Scott, become his fans.
Or become a connection and show up at the meetup. And,
yeah, if you're in New York and you have a lunch break, go to the Hudson Yards.
Yeah, Hudson Yards. We're going to be going at the vessel, or just watch Zach Scriven Media to, you know, watch the vlog when it drops. And, you know, if you like the content that I create, obviously drop a subscribe, or, you know, maybe send me a DM, connect on LinkedIn. And
look at that, the whole pitch. Buy his hats.
All right, do it all, you'll be legit. Yep.
Yes.
Remember, master data is your most important data.
And that's the truth.
You can handle the truth.